Well, it's good to be here again. May the Lord richly bless you, those of you who are gathered in the hall tonight, and those of you who are joining us via the live stream. May the Lord bless us as we praise him, as we turn to his word, and later as we turn to him in prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 5, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Let us come now to the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, we would bow our hearts before thee, for thou art our King. We would humbly come, for thou art our God, and we do not deserve thee. Yet we come, O Lord, and we thank thee. How wonderful is the thought that thou dost belong to us. O Lord, we come to pray, to commune with thee, and we pray that thou would favour us. And listen, O Lord, and speak to us through thy word, whether it be the word read or sung this evening hour. O Lord, we come. We come confessing our sins. We are ever amazed, O Lord, that we can come. But Lord, we come humbly, for we are sinners. May we seek, may we know, O Lord, that fatherly forgiveness. May we know that peace. May we know that strength within our hearts. And may we tonight know that accompanying joy. O Lord, hear us then. Strengthen us at the end of this day. Comfort those who mourn. Strengthen those who are weary. O Lord, hear us now. O glory be to thee. We come to thee through the name of our blessed Redeemer, the King of Kings, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn to our first praise, Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. And we're going to sing to the tune Andrew, verses 1 to 4. The Lord's my light and saving help, who shall make me dismayed? My life strength is the Lord of whom, then shall I be afraid. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4, and the tune is St. Andrew.
I
you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46, and we'll read from verse 1 through to verse 7. Let us hear God's word. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Amen. May the Lord bless again the reading of his precious word. Well, tonight we're going to particularly look at verses 2 through to verse 4, those words we have just read. But by way of text, let's just read the third verse. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Dear congregation, the Lord governs and preserves his people. He directs them in his most holy and wise providence. And so we can say with the psalmist in view of this, in Psalm 57 verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. The Lord is working his purposes out. He's performing all things for us. In this we can rest. Though at times providence may seem dark and mysterious, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We're here tonight. We consider at this time in the life of Jacob, but also his other name Israel, God's providence, preserving him. But then we also consider God's presence, protection and promise in these verses before us. Jacob received the news that Joseph, whom he thought was dead, was in fact alive and well. And in the previous chapter, the last verse we read, and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. He has this intention, that is Jacob, to go and visit his son Joseph. But the Lord makes plain to Jacob, all will be well. He's leading him on in his providence. There'll be protection. He will be with him. And there will be the promises fulfilled, as we note there in verse 4. But the Lord speaks, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. Like Samuel later on, Jacob was ready to listen to what the Lord would say. And are we not tonight, as we come to these verses and we consider what the Lord is saying to us at this time in our lives through these verses? Well, tonight, and maybe next time, I'd like us to consider God's providence, first of all. Secondly, God's presence. Thirdly, God's protection. And fourthly, God's promise, God's providence, presence, protection, and promise. Well, let's consider first of all tonight God's providence. Verse 3, And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make there of thee a great nation. I will go with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. After making plain again to Jacob the covenant, as we note in the third verse, making plain that he was his God, as he was his father's God, and so that he would be engaged to assist Jacob, he then encouraged Jacob to go and to go down there to Egypt, making plain this was in accordance to his will, making plain his most holy and wise providence. God's hand was in all of this, and Jacob could be assured, the covenant is considered. There, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make thee there, make of thee a great nation. And Jacob knew that God was going before him, and he could trace God's unfolding providence. He was guided, but also he was preserved, as we will consider in a moment. He was in the way of the Lord. He need not fear. He would be preserved, he would be protected there in Egypt. We can say, along with Abraham's servant in Genesis 24, verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, without any shadow of doubt, the Lord made plain that Jacob here on this occasion was in the way. And it's to our comfort, isn't it, to know, even in the dark and the mysterious providences, that we are in the way. I being in the way. Well, we consider first of all then God's providence here. What is providence? Well, the word is actually used in the Bible, but only once. And we see that in Acts 24 and verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Acts 24, verse 2. And we think there of forethought, care, supply, providence. In the English dictionary, we have this definition, timely care. But let's now consider the providence of God. Divine providence, we understand, is the Lord's foresight, his care beforehand, in eternity. And we see his unfolding providence, and we take note of his care, how he's gone on before, and we see things falling into place. His care beforehand. And we go a little further as we consider that. We consider his governing and preserving. Like Nehemiah, we recognise the hand of God. You recall he desired that there might be timber for the rebuilding work. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we read this in verse 8. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. The king granted me. Nehemiah recognised that, but he looked higher, and he considered the providence of God, according to the good hand of my God upon me. And in all these things, we recognise the hand of God. And so we cry with the psalmist in Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He's bringing it to completion. There's no mistakes. There'll be nothing left out. No, it's all in his providence. And he's governing us. He's preserving us. He will bring us forth. The providence of God. We have those well-known words, Romans 8, verse 28. We've read them often, haven't we? Particularly in times of difficulty. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose, there's providence. And we know some things that are dark and mysterious, some things we will not understand, but this we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And Joseph recognized that, did he not? In chapter 45, and also it's recorded in chapter 50. His brothers fought evil, but God meant it unto good. And we trace God's kind hand of providence. Dear brethren, we can look up and admire his providence. Here, Jacob was being brought down into Egypt, and there would be blessing there for the children of Israel, but in providence, the nation would be preserved. And they would be brought forth out of Egypt, and they would come to the promised land. God's providence was here. But it's helpful to consider what the Westminster Divines framed in the Shorter Catechism. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. And we see that here. Now firstly, it extends to all and all their actions. You recall our Lord said in Matthew 10 verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows everything. He's over all. The sparrows that fall and the hairs upon one's head. It extends to all and to all their actions. Now, having said this, we must underline and consider God is not the author of sin. However, his providence extends to all. He has a will to permit, and consider further, he limits and overrules for his own glory. We see that so plainly, do we not, in Genesis 50, verse 20, is Joseph speaking to his brothers, but as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass. We see there, see how scripture just brings these truths together. God is not the author of sin, however, his providence is over all. Ye fought evil against me, Joseph says to his brothers, but God meant it unto good. There we have the truth. And we just leave it there. We rest in what the Lord has revealed in Scripture, where his providence extends to all and to all their actions. But then consider secondly, it is holy. It's pure. It's sacred. Now, as I said earlier, some things are what we call dark and mysterious. The Mystery of Providence, I'm sure a number of you have read that book by John Flavel. There are dark and mysterious providences. However, when we consider the providence of God, even the dark and the mysterious things, and the things we are just silent over, we admire it. It is God's holy providence as a whole. Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his thoughts. Now just pause, and I say this very carefully. If that was not so, if it was not so that the Lord is righteous in all his ways, we could never rest in God's providence. It is holy, dark and mysterious at times, but we recognize he is holy in all his works, including the work of providence. It's holy. Thirdly, it's wise. Just think again of those words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know all things. The things, according to our reason, at times go contrary to one another. Think of the wristwatch. You turn the wristwatch over, you look at the back. This illustration has been used by many through the centuries. You see cogs going that way, this way. And we think, how can it work? But you turn it around and God looks from the other side and the hands go according to the perfect timing. And we know, and there are times we struggle and we may be in tears over certain things. We can look up, we know, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And is that not a comfort? All things are working for our good. We love the Lord. We can rest, as we will consider in a moment, in his providence, which is seen as special to us. It's wise. Are we not thankful for his wise providence? Fourthly, it is powerful. In what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4, verse 35, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can say his hand. It's his powerful hand. His powerful hand of providence. No man can interfere. It cannot be resisted. He is governing, he is preserving in an almighty way and in accordance to his great power. None can stop what God is doing for us in our lives. All things work together for good, and none can stop that. For it's working for our God. It's his powerful providence. So a little on the providence, but let's just go a little further. We thought, when we consider providence, of his governing and preserving. Let's think of his governing, works of providence. And we see that here. Jacob is being guided. Jacob Israel, he thought Joseph was dead. Just go back to verse 27. They told him all the words of Joseph, and when he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. He couldn't believe it, but then he saw and he heard, and his heart was revived. And he recognized that Joseph was alive, and now he takes his journey in verse 46. Was there some apprehensions, as some of the commentators point out in verse 1? You can look at that in your own time. But we see from verse 2, the Lord makes it plain. This is the way, walk ye in it. The Lord's governing. Jacob's to go to Egypt. And God said unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to into Egypt, for I will make thee. For I will there make of thee a great nation. Fear not to go down. See the governing hand of God. All in the purpose and the plan. And here we see providence unfolding. And Jacob's listening. Just pause again as we consider the governing work of providence. Jacob's listening. Are we listening? Maybe some things you don't understand that are happening in your life at the moment. Are you listening to God as we consider these things here tonight? Jacob is being guided. Psalm 66 verse 7, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. He's ruling, you see. He directs. Proverbs 16 verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, there's some people, they try to work out great doctrines. But we come across verses like this in Scripture, and it's just made simple for us to understand two thoughts there. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let me illustrate. You may be considering what you hope to do when the weather gets warmer, or where you're going to do, what place you're going to visit. You're thinking, yes, if you arrive at that place, you can say, yes, but that's where I was hoping to go. But we also see providence. The Lord directeth his steps. He is sovereign and so governs. We consider his governing works of providence. But then also, as we think of providence, his preserving works of providence. As we will note in them next week, I expect, Jacob knew protection in Egypt. And he was comforted that all would be well. Verse 3, fear not to go down into Egypt. There was apprehensions. Forebodings, we could say. Fear not, he's told. He's going to be preserved there. How do we know that? Just notice verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will go down with thee. The Lord's going with him. There will be blessing in verse 3. And then as we consider the nation as a whole, verse 4, and I will also surely bring thee up again. Israel, representing the nation, going down into Egypt. We know certain brothers were there already. But then Israel, the nation, coming out of Egypt. God preserving. And are we not thankful the Lord in a special way will preserve us to the promised land? The preserving works. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. We think they're the Lord Jesus Christ. Upholding all things by the word of his power. He's the King of Kings, as we considered last Lord's Day evening. Upholding all things. In a moment we'll consider his providence seen as special. He's upholding you. He's preserving you. At times our feet are nearly slipping, but he upholds, as we see in the Psalms. Oh, admire the providence of God. Yes, we can consider those dark and mysterious providences. And you remember that booklet written by God's servant, the late Reverend John Murray? He went through some dark providences, and he wrote that booklet, Behind a Frowning Providence. He had a mysterious providence in his life. It was dark. And then another one came, and he became so ill. But now he's in heaven, resting in the presence of the Lord. Behind a frowning providence. Some things we do not understand, but all we submit to his providence. Now, providence is seen as common to all, Acts 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. And that's true of all, isn't it? But it is seen as special towards the church. And so we read in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. Now just consider it in light of the Egyptians and Israel. You remember how the Egyptians gave of their substance to help the Israelites as they went forth. We can see God's providence is common over the Egyptians, but it's seen as special towards the children of Israel. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. What a thought. The Lord is surveying your workplaces, your places of education, the places you live in, this whole area. To show himself strong for you. And that's why some people stand back at times. Look at that man, look at that woman. They seem to be calm in the midst of this difficulty. They continue on looking to the Lord. What a thought it is. The Lord has his eyes particularly on us. He scans around, as it were, to show himself strong. You see, his providence is seen as special towards us. How amazing is his grace. How wonderful is his mercy when we think that his providence is seen as special towards us. His eyes are particularly upon us. And do not we see this again in Romans 8 verse 28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. For good, the disappointments are his appointments for your good. It's not easy at times, is it? And there's so much we don't understand. Psalm 131, I do not deal in matters too high for me. And you know we've grown when we can say that. We leave it with the Lord. Lord, I don't understand, but I will commit my situation today. But we know that all things are working together for good. That disappointment, the Lord will bring good for you. And it's all according to his most holy providence. Oh, consider God's providential hand over your life. Be no mistake as there. No mistake. Consider the providence that brought you to him. When you were given faith, consider his providence, how he's kept your soul to this very moment. How he's led you, how he's opened up ways before you. A way was opened up for Nehemiah, we considered earlier tonight. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Doors have opened. People have been helpful. God granted it you, according to his good hand. Oh, look up by faith. We may not understand, but we know it is for his glory and for our good. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "The providences of God are sometimes dark and eyes dim, and we hardly tell what to make of them. But when we cannot unriddle providence, let us believe that it will work together for the good of the elect. Therefore, Christians, believe that God loves you, and that he will make the most cross providences to promote his glory and your good." Some of the most hardest things you may face in your life, you can know that God will have the glory and God will bring things for your good. For the Lord was leading and guiding Jacob. Well, as we close tonight, we'll just come to the second point. God's presence. We thought of God's providence. Lord willing, next time we'll consider God's protection. And then God's promise. It's all in verse 3 and verse 4. But as we draw to a close now, consider secondly, God's presence. These are precious words. Verse 4. "I will go down with thee into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon mine eyes." There's the comfort for Jacob. He will get there. He will get to see Joseph. But you notice what the Lord says. "I will go down with thee into Egypt." The Lord himself was going with Jacob. The covenant God, verse 3. And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father." And just consider this, God who has given himself over to you in the covenant, in that gracious way, goes with you as he leads and governs and preserves you. "I will go down with thee into Egypt." But Jacob was going into a strange land. But he was not alone. We, the Lord's people, were in a strange land, aren't we? We're pilgrims in a strange land. This world is not our home. Hebrews 11 verse 13, thinking of those heroes of faith. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And we confess the same. We're a stranger, and pilgrim I am. However, we're not alone. Look what the Lord says here again. "I will go down with thee into Egypt." The Lord is with us, and the Lord goes with us. The Lord's with us now, and the Lord will go with us. Remember that promise at the place Jacob dreamed of a ladder reaching up to heaven, Genesis 28 and verse 15. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places wherever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." What a promise. I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places wherever thou goest. God was going with Jacob. There's the promise. There was apprehension, we know, in verse 1. It's seen there. There's a delay. But it's to the comfort of Jacob again that he hears that God is going with him. And we can be assured. God is with us. He's with us in a particular special way as we gather. But he's with us in that general way all the time. And so he's with us tonight. And he'll be with us on our journeys tomorrow. He'll be with us when we come to the workplace, or the college, or the school, or that place in the community. He's going with us. We ought to remember that more often. The Lord is going with us. What do we read here? I will go down with thee into Egypt. Maybe a time in your life, it's to a new place maybe. The Lord goes. And we can say, I being in the way. We recognise his providence. Into a new workplace it may be. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And you think of Egypt, there were unconverted people there. But the Lord was going with Jacob into that place. And you go to the workplace. And there's unconverted people there. A new place may be. The Lord goes with you. All to remember it. And what a comfort it is when we're aware of the Lord. A number of years ago, I was sitting in a converted pigsty near Petersfield for my dinner break. They didn't house pigs in there, but it was the edge of the fields where these trees were grown. And they brought these pig stalls. They looked quite old, but they brought these pig stalls out of corrugated iron for the workers to sit in. Where a number sat in one, and I sat in this other one. And I was cast down. And I was lonely. It was my first time really away from home. So I got out my Bible, and I began to read, and I found some comfort. And a supervisor who was sitting in the doorway, well, not much of a door, it was a low door. He saw me reading, and he suddenly said, I used to go to Sunday school. And I felt strength within, and I understood why I was there, miles from home, to be a witness, and I recognised God was there. And sometimes we can be cast down. Why have I come to this place? And something happens, and we recognise God is in the place. Like Jacob did. And we recognise God has been going with us. Are we not thankful he never takes his eye off us? We at times are not looking to him by faith. At times we've got much lawful things to attend to. And we can't think as we want to think at times. Upwards. We've got lawful things. But he never takes his eye off us. And he has this gracious way at times to make us aware that he's with us on the journey in the place we have come to. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Take comfort wherever the Lord leads you, young people, children in your lives. And we pray it's always around this area. But wherever the Lord leads you, take comfort tonight. The Lord will go with you. New place of work, a new place of education, a new situation. You've never gone that way before. He will not leave you to go alone. I will go with thee down into Egypt. A new trial. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The waters of affliction, the rivers of difficulty, the fires of adversity, different places we could say, the Lord's there. Like he was with those in the fiery furnace, Daniel's three friends. He will not leave us to face the trial alone. There'll be many difficulties for the children of Israel in Egypt, particularly after Joseph died. The Lord was with them. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And why? Because he's near. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 46, verse 5. Spurgeon comments there, his help is therefore sure and near. Is she besieged, then he is himself within her. And we may be certain that he will break forth upon his adversaries. How near is the Lord to his distressed of his saints, since he sojourns in their midst. He's so near, not always do we sense him. I think particularly that night when I was a boy, it was dark. I thought there was a burglar in the house. It was my mum doing some cooking in the middle of the night for some reason. But where were my parents? I felt all alone, but they were there. And sometimes we don't sense. We cry out, where art thou? But the Lord is with us. He goes with us. Look, these words in closing. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again. The children of Israel would multiply there in Egypt, as we note in verse 3. And one day, after much distress and bondage, they would be brought out. The Lord had not forgotten them in Egypt. He was with them. And yes, we can consider Moses, he leads them. But it was the Lord, wasn't he? Wasn't it? I will go with thee, and I will also surely bring thee up again. The Lord is with us, therefore we can be in expectation. We will safely be brought through our afflictions to the promised land. God's providence, God's presence. And are we not thankful for his providence? And are we not thankful as he continues to govern, as he leads, as he directs? He goes with us. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we're not worthy of thy presence. We feel like Peter of old. But Lord, we thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy and thy love. Thou art a gracious God, thou wilt draw near to us. Thou art a loving God, thou wilt not forsake us. Thou art a merciful God, thou wilt come, for we are in need. And Lord, we thank thee for those words. We thank thee that thou art the God of providence. And we know and we would say it to thee that thou art working out all things for our good. Thine eyes are scanning this whole universe for the good of the people of God and for the good of us. Lord, we give thee praise and we thank thee that thou dost go with us. Thou dost go with us into the workplace, the college, the school. Thou dost go with us to that difficult place, that new place, O Lord. Oh, to be more aware of it, Lord. And we pray in thy providence that it might be so, that thou wouldst come at times in such a gracious way and make us aware that thou art going with us. For, Lord, that is a great help to us. Oh, glory be to thee, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our second praise, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 8, and the tune is St. Minver. Praise God, for he is good, for still his mercies lasting be. And notice particularly verse 7 in light of what we've been considering tonight. Them also in a way to walk, that right is he did guide, that they might to a city go, within wherein they might abide. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 8, and the tune is St. Minver. Praise God, for he is good.
Thank you.
well, just before we come to the time of prayer, let's particularly remember Mark and Naomi at this time. Pray the Lord's comfort and support would be abundantly known in their lives and that they might be aware of it at this time. Let's also remember Naomi's family as they mourn the loss of Winnie. I believe her name was Winnie. Many of you knew her a lot better than I did. Let's pray for them.